In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's such a joy to see the pews starting to fill up. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Here's our memorial here to those who died in New York. In a pastoral message speaking about how people dealt with the aftermath of 9/11, our presiding bishop Michael Curry said this: "Memories of that tender cooperation, of love for each other as neighbors, serve as guiding lights for the present. Amidst the ongoing pandemic and cultural and natural disasters that have taken so many lives and pushed first responders to their limits, and amidst a worldwide reckoning with the sin of racism, we are called to become the beloved community whose way of life is the way of Jesus and his way of love." My friends, that way of love we boldly proclaim today in this church. This is the greatest gift of the church to the world, the way of Jesus, a way that can bring reconciliation, peace, and hope to our seemingly broken world. Our first lesson, our psalm, and our epistle all speak of hope, looking forward to a new creation where things are done according to God's way and not our way. "Look at the proud," says the prophet Habakkuk. "Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Those who go out weeping, carrying their seed, will come again with joy," says the psalmist. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, says the writer to the letter to the Hebrews. Faith is not a set of beliefs or a catechism. It is a gift from God, a charism, a seed planted in each one of us, waiting to be nurtured. In Luke's Gospel, the apostles say to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say this to the sycamore tree, 'Be rooted up and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Mustard seed. I was surprised a few days ago to receive an email from someone that a name that seemed very familiar. As I read the email, I realized it was someone I first met 36 years ago. Then he had been a young teenager in my youth group when I was first a young curate in Leon C in Essex. Now he is a father of several children. He wanted to share some exchanges with his friends from that time on Facebook about his faith. We've not been in touch since I left that parish, but it was the way he signed off his email that struck me. He simply said, "Mustard seeds from over 30 years ago, ... It was such an encouragement. When our faith feels weak, we need not fear, since faith is given to us as a gift. You can't go and study about it and get more of it like you amass points on a credit card. It's given to us through God's goodness. No matter how small that faith may seem to us at times, it is nevertheless enough to open us to God's love." Do you remember that pitiful story in Mark's Gospel? of the man whose little boy is possessed of an evil spirit that has made the boy deaf and dumb from birth. The disciples try and cast it out, and they fail miserably. There's a great commotion. Jesus appears. The father describes to Jesus in graphic detail what for us today sounds like very powerful epileptic seizures. His helplessness is so moving. He says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. If you can do anything." And Jesus says something that some would hear as a rebuke. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately comes the beautiful response of the desperate father. I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Which, of course, brings us to St. Thomas. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Oh, poor Thomas, so often described in the church's history as doubting Thomas, when in actual fact he is the grieving Thomas, the loving friend of the Lord Thomas, who is desperate to see him. Remember that Thomas had strong faith not long before Jesus was betrayed and arrested, as Jesus went to Bethany to the grave of his friend Lazarus, when the Pharisees and the scribes were plotting to kill Jesus. Thomas said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Those are not the words of a doubter, but one who is attuned to the way of Jesus, faithful to his way of love. That same love expressed in Thomas's words in the upper room when Jesus told his disciples not to be troubled because he was going to prepare a place for them. "Lord," he said, "we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" To which Jesus replied, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him." Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So in another upper room, the risen Lord appeared to Thomas. The gospel does not say that Thomas even needed to touch the Lord's wounds. Instead, that spark of faith, that mustard seed of faith, is fanned into full flame as he exclaims, "My Lord and my God." Today, still in a pandemic, 20 years since 9/11, with natural disasters happening close at home and around the world, with so much despair in our world, we, the people of St. Thomas Church, Fifth Avenue, are called to fan the flame of our own sometimes weak faith and to be like Thomas, not doubting, but believing. Over the past 18 months, so much has happened in spite of the pandemic. Our strategic plan is no longer hopes and dreams. It is a way of life we are already living. The goals of that strategic plan are being put into action. And for those who are worried that we are being a little bit too corporate in our language, remember that Jesus also had a plan. The apostles had a plan. The mission of spreading the good news required good planning and faithful service, good stewardship. But Unlike many corporate businesses or even mid-sized not-for-profits here in New York, the heart of our strategic plan is our mission to worship, love, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ through the Anglican tradition and our unique choral heritage. That ain't corporate speak. That's the way of Jesus, the way of love. Our strategic plan is quite simply to live out our mission statement to the best of our ability. And that's why we celebrate the choir school today. That's why we celebrate the return of these choristers and our gentlemen. That's why we welcome our new head of school in Christopher Seeley. That's why we begin a project to share our musical expertise with local children by forming another choir for boys and girls who cannot be part of our choir of men and boys. That's why we celebrate the ministry of Father Moretz, who becomes a linchpin in helping our parish and school thrive and grow through our strategic plan. And yes, we're going to give him a new fancy title, Vicar. But it's more than just a title. It's a reminder that we all have a part to play in this community, working together for the common good of our parish and its school, and striving towards a more excellent way. That is why we celebrate the new role of Mother Turner as school chaplain, and the strengthening of the bonds of affection across parish and school and parents and alumni. That's why we celebrate the creation of a new board of trustees for our school, which will give robust and, yes, independent leadership at a time of challenge and change. That is why we celebrate our patronal feast today. Because we affirm our mission and our place here in New York to worship, love, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ through the Anglican tradition and our unique choral heritage. Turning challenge into opportunity, turning strangers into friends. Or as Bishop Curry said, we are called to become the beloved community whose way of life is the way of Jesus and his way of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.